In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. The topic for us tonight is about confession. This is a very wide topic, so we can speak about different things, and we can have time for questions. One of the things that we can speak about is why. Why to confess? Another topic is how. How we do confess. And then there are some remarks that we can speak about. So we start by why should we confess? I like a book that I read by a Russian author, and the book is translated to English. It's called The Confession is the Forgotten Medicine. People do not know how confession is useful for them to give them peace and relax them. Many people suffer from guilt, and the best thing is confession. Unfortunately, some people from this world understand the thing in a different way. I remember that once I visited one of our youths that was passing through some difficulty in mental hospital, and his doctor left a message for me saying, "You father that will come to visit him, he knew that I'm visiting him, don't ever take confessions." And that was very, very narrow-minded doctor. When I went to this young man, he said, "I know that he said that, but I need to confess." And of course, I didn't obey him. I obeyed God. I took confession of this gentleman, and he was very, very relieved and relaxed. So, not many people understand this confession to be a forgotten medicine. A story that I said to some of you before happened at St. Mark Church for a person that was, again, suffering from mental disturbances, and it ended by him having these electric shocks, which is horrible. And he was admitted to the hospital a number of times. I met him in the church. He doesn't come to St. Mark, but he came for some period. He's not now in Australia, although he left Australia. And I met him in the, he was crying, and I spoke to him a little bit. And I discovered that he's not a typical mental patient. There's something mysterious about him. And then I told him, "Do you confess?" He said, "I can't confess." "Why?" He said, "I did something horrible. I cannot confess it." And then after some time, he trusted me and he confessed really something, possibly the worst ever seen that I imagined that a human can do. Something very bad. And I observed that he needed penance, he needed punishment in order for his guilt to be a little bit relieved. So I gave him some humiliating thing to do, and I followed him a number of times. And then his family came to me and said, "Did you get the devil out of him?" "What devil?" "There was no devil." They thought that because he was healed, he was totally healed. And he became normal, totally, and he stopped the medication. And it was not a devil or something, and not at all. It's a guilt that accumulated in him to the extent that he was almost on the verge of committing suicide, but it ended by him very relaxed and normal. So it is forgotten medicine. The confession is a forgotten medicine. There's another point about why we could confess, especially repeated sins. All the youth fall in repeated sins, particularly out of lust and desire and sexual mistakes, like bad habits and things like that. They get hit by the desire and they resist a little bit, and they fall, and then they come to confess, and they repeat the confession. And sometimes they feel that it is never ends. Should I keep confessing, embarrassed my from that? And what did confession help me, because I'm repeating it? Imagine a scenario of two people. I and someone who is close, Joseph. I am Joseph. Both of them have, say, nice clothes. I dirty eat daily. Joseph dirty eat monthly. But when he dirty his clothes monthly, he doesn't wash it. But when I dirty it daily, I wash it immediately. Who is clean and who is not clean? You know what I'm aiming at? Like, I may be repeating sin, but I immediately cleanse myself. So I'm always clean. Not because I don't sin, but because I repent. So my comfort zone, as they call it, is clean. I am repentant. The other scenario is that I may not fall repeatedly or frequently, but when I fall, I stay dirty. This idea of repeated confession makes me clean. And out of cleanness, I'm comfortable. I'm comfortable being close to God. My status is that I'm close to God. I can speak to Him. Yes, I was dirty half an hour ago, but I immediately repented. Now, sometimes people like to confess even on the phone or by message. This is special circumstances. Don't rely on that all the time, of course. But in special circumstances, you do. I remember once, and there are a number of people that do that with me, confess with me on by sending a message. I feel in bad habit, I need absolution, I'm weak, I watched something bad, whatever. And we make a short prayer, which is part of the absolution, and I write for them, be absolved by the grace of God, God absolve you, something like that. I remember once that when I sleep tired, I put my mobile on silent, at least to have a number of hours sleep, because some people call from overseas at different times, so I put it on silent after a certain time. And in about 3 o'clock in the morning, I walked to go to the bathroom, I looked at my mobile, I found one youth sent me repeated message on hourly basis, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, asking absolution. Then I sent him that message of absolution, then he could sleep. He could not sleep without having absolution. I love this, because it just shows that the person is clean, always clean. I can't sleep dirty. I need the word be absolved, then I'm relaxed. The responsibility is taken from you on the shoulder of the priest, and the priest carries this responsibility to Christ in the Holy Mass. This idea is very important to understand, that the sin that I carry, I put it on the priest, and the priest takes it to the altar. And that's the mechanism whereby we have that feel of comfort, that I'm not guilty, there's no guilt anymore. I confess, and it's the responsibility of the priest to take that from me. I remember one girl that did something very, very bad, and she said that I'll never be forgiven. God will never forgive a sin like that. And she was crying, and actually affected her behavior, even her look. And I met her, and she said, I'll never confess again. This is something that will never be forgiven. And even she was disturbed. Then that was one of the very limited times in my life that I did what the Russian church do in confession. In the Russian church, I'm not sure if they are doing that until now or not, but it was in the history. When the priest reads the absolution for you, you put your hand on his neck, symbolic of transferring the burden on you. I felt that maybe this will give her a bit of comfort. I told her, when I read the absolution for you, put your hand on my neck and understand that I'm carrying that from you. Literally, what's your mistake? I said, I'm carrying to Christ. And she was relieved by that. Very relieved that the thing was taken. So the concept of comfort zone is very important. I cannot be comfortable while I'm living in sin. Sinful I may be, repeated sins I may fall in, but every time I fall, I sin. I tell you a sentence that was said by one of the fathers that is very comfortable. Very comfortable. He says, he's a holy man. He said that the Lord counts for you how many times you stand, not how many times you fall. Because standing is credit. So the Lord is counting for you how many times you stand. Every time you stand, you add to your credit. So be happy if you fall because you stand. The Lord doesn't count how many times you fall, because the falling is loss, but standing is credit for you. So the Lord will count for you how many times you stand. This is very relaxing. I may fall 10 times in the week, but I stand 10 times, and this is counted towards credit for me in the eyes of God. Let me be joyful out of that. This is something very relaxing. Understand that. No one in heaven will ask you, why did you fall? But definitely, you receive the question, why didn't you repent? When the prodigal son returned back to his dad didn't mention at all any word about where's the money, why did you take the money, why did you do that to me? You are not humane. You took the money and went, I'm your dad, you left me, nothing like that. The designer of the prodigal son parable is Jesus Christ. He designed it in a way to encourage us that the instant that we come back to the Lord, he never asks us, why did you do that? This question is only people that ask on earth. But in heaven, no one will ask. But they'll ask, why didn't you repent? Is the door of repentance open for you? Yes. Haven't I, the Lord say, give authority for some people on earth to give absolution? Yes. Then why didn't you use it? If you doubt this idea of absolution, think a little bit what the Lord said to his disciples. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Those sins you retain will be retained. And those sins you forgive will be forgiven. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose in earth will be loosened in heaven. This was said to the disciples. Do you think that it stopped with the disciples, as the Protestants sometimes say? Do you think that this authority will end in the first century? Will the Lord be interested in building something that important to live only one generation? Do you think that this is logical? It must continue. How? Through the missions. And missions practically cannot take confession of 20,000 people or 50,000, so it's given to the priests. So that's the system. So we believe in that. We have to believe in that, because any logic will say that there is something called absolution. The priest is receiving delegation of Christ's authority. Forgiveness of sin is the authority of Christ and only Christ. So there is no priest or patriarch that forgives sins, but he has the authority of Christ to ask for absolution. And that's exactly the absolution that we say. We repeat the words that the Lord said to his disciples, you give people who labor in priesthood for a certain time on earth this authority to forgive to sins on earth and loosen every bond of iniquity. And that's what we do. So you need that. You need this absolution. It's very, very important to be always clean, coming back with absolution, absolved and happy, trust that you are clean, totally clean, when you confess honestly, and you don't hide, you don't play with words, and He saved the Christ. Another point about why we should do that with a priest. The priest is a channel of grace, regardless of his own mistakes. I may be sinful as a human. I may be weak as you, or weaker. But the Lord gave me this. So I will be a channel of grace to you through Christ. Regardless of my own status, don't be disturbed by knowing that the priests are human with their own mistakes. Yes, they have their own mistakes, they have their limitations, but the Lord selected them to do that. And this is important, and the Bible proves this, like Eli, for example, in the Old Testament, he was a priest rejected by God. But when he prayed for Samuel's mother, she fell pregnant with his prophecy, because he is the channel of grace. So don't assess, don't say this is a good person, I confess with, this is a bad person. It's not like that. It is the authority that has been given in priesthood to priests. So even if you see me sinning much worse than you, still I am a channel through Christ to you. So it's a tube of grace that comes through the priest to you. So don't be disturbed by the limitations of humans as priests. I'll shift to another point, which is practicality of the confession. Number one, your physical position, the time of confession is important. Some people go to confess and they sit relaxed, they even cross their legs or stretch, whatever. They laugh, they crack jokes. This is a trick from the devil to consume the fire of desire to repent. When you go to confess, don't do this. Don't. If your health allow you to be on your knees, be on your knees. Why? Because first you don't chat about other people. Of course it's good to chat with the priest, but not in the time of confession. There are times that you can chat with priests, spend a good time with them as friends. But the time of confession, no be serious. May be good to be even on your knees. May be good to do matanis, if your health allows that, to do matanis. Why? Because the spirit of repentance is needed. You are begging for the Holy Spirit to give you forgiveness. So your position, your body position is important. As I repeat, that many people have this habit, actually there are some priests in Sydney that ask every person in confession to be on his or her knees. I know that some people cannot do that. They are not used to. And priests of St. Mark Church are too embarrassed to ask anyone to do anything physical. So we don't go, we don't comment, but I have the freedom to speak to the whole church, to the whole youth group, that it may be a good idea when you go to confess to be on your knees. Another thing is, don't try to lessen your mistakes. It reminds me by a person that goes to the emergency in any hospital. If you go to the emergency in a hospital and say, I have a little bit of pain in my stomach, they leave you with long, they never care about you. But if you go there crying out of pain, and it's clear that you are carrying heavy pain, they'll admit you immediately. When David the psalmist spoke to God, he said, forgive me my sins, because they are many, not because they are little. Some people come and say, I came a little bit late, can I have Holy Communion? And I saw this person coming from the door after I gave Holy Communion. Why did you say a little bit? Why to listen to the mistake? Why? Why to try to make the thing doesn't look as it is? You may have stolen money from the church, and then you come and say, I'm not honest. The word I'm not honest will never give you the feeling of embarrassment before God to the extent that you get the feeling of repentance. So don't try to speak in a way to make the sin doesn't look very sinful, because you lose the power of repentance, you lose the possibility of moving your heart towards repentance. So when you go to confess, try as much as possible to express your weakness, your real weakness, and your real need of absolution from God. Some people try to say stories that make themselves justified. Yes, I did that, but because whatever. Why you say because? Why? Why do you say, for example, that I hated this person because he is very bad, he did that to me? Well, you are confessing now your own mistake, that I hated this person. So that's my mistake. Don't justify it, because when you start justifying it, the spirit of repentance may be lost from your heart. You don't feel that I need to repent. It's his mistake. So, and remember that words. Don't try in confession to justify your own mistakes or to make it less. Understand I remember one of the people that used to confess with me. Every time he comes to confess, when he doesn't have something embarrassing, then he repeats something very embarrassing from the past. And he cries. He's not a priest, one of the priests said. He always gets something that gets him on his knees. He used to come on his knees and speak in a way that actually makes even the priest cry. I told him once, if everyone is like you, I lose my heart, my sight. He can turn the priest to tears out of the way of brokenheartedness that he presented himself to ask for. Another practical point is the time of waiting, when you wait outside. When you wait outside, there's a queue sometimes that you have to wait, sometimes long, maybe 2 hours sometimes on Wednesdays or something like that, Fridays. Now, use the time in the proper way. It's a chance. Why not spend 2 hours praying and meditating on your knees? Why? Why does the devil come to attack you by ideas that steal from you the spirit of repentance? For example, this priest is not organized. Why don't he give specific time and hold to it? The Coptic church is always not organized. The devil disturbs you and you don't benefit. Number of years ago, one specialist doctor, I know that her income per hour is about something ranging between $3,000 and $5,000 per hour. She came to confess, and I think it was Wednesday evening, and my eyesight doesn't see people at the back, especially when the light is not good. So she sat at the back. Everyone came in turn until her turn came. I was so embarrassed because she waited, I remember she was in the corner, she waited maybe 2-3 hours, which means that she lost about $10,000 in waiting for her turn. I told her, well, doctor, please, when you come to confess next time, let me know the time that you come, I can arrange. She said, am I better than these Asiyad in Arabic, said my masters? That am I better than others? Why, Father, you say that? I wait my turn. She moved my heart by her brokenheartedness and clarity of So instead of judging that the priest is not organized, the church must do and must whatever, leave the priest in his lack of organization, benefit from the fact. It's a general rule in general. General rule that instead of, it's actually the devil way of disturbing you by assessing other people and to forget your own. My own is that I have a chance of, say, waiting a couple of hours, then I read and eat a book, and I pray and I pray, and I remember my own sins. That may be a good time for me to assess my needs. Now, there are some comments that I finish before I get some questions from you. One question is always asked, why not to confess directly to God? Why should it be a priest? Why should a human be there? Can't I stand before God and say, forgive me God, because I did so and so? Understand that it's arrogance. Why are you unhappy by confessing to a priest? Why? I mean, I remember Frank Schiffer, who was one of the Protestant leaders that converted to Orthodoxy, was saying, I wonder how my wife was carrying the burden of my arrogance when I was not confessing. Since I started confessing, I knew that I have to be modest. It is good to be accountable to a human. Look at now the Protestant people saying, you know, someone that is suffering from addiction to pornography spoke to me saying, can I have your permission to go to this organization? I said, what do these people do? He said that they force me that any website I go to visit will be sent to a person. And that person, I'll be accountable to him or her, that they will supervise me. They are Protestant people, but I love the idea. Because that's exactly what we are calling. That what is the job of the priest, one of the things in confession is that accountability. Rick Warren, one of the top Protestant people in the world, in his 40 days, whatever program, he spoke one day about accountability. You have to be accountable to a human. If you say to a child, here the TV, here the computer, but don't use them, study, and you leave home, you'll be naive to think that the boy or the girl will control themselves. They have to be accountable. They have to be supervised. Imagine that the police will say to you, it's not good to steal and drink crime. It will be a mess. So accountability is something very important. And what prevents you from being accountable? Pride. How about to break this pride and become modest and accept to confess to a priest? Especially that this priest himself to confess it. And he also knows how to be embarrassed. I was listening to a tape by Abu Dawud Lamai, sent to the priest, very, very invaluable tape. And I was saying that you fathers, you speak to the priest, know very well how many people in the congregation are far better than us, which is the truth. There are many people in the congregation far, far more holy than me as a priest and maybe other priests as well. So, but they are modest. They come to confess and they are on their knees. Sometimes the Lord proves that to us that this system is useful. Sometimes we give advice without full confidence. And then time passes and people come and say, remember when you said me so and so, it's exactly what happened. I have no prophetic power. But the Lord uses the system to support the system. The Lord actually gives glory to his servants regardless of their behavior or their status, just to make his system successful. So sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks on the mouth of your confession path in a wonderful way. And normally when you are respecting this concept of confession, then the words of the priest will be much stronger than your own. Like at the start of any fast, I say to myself, this fast I will fast until 12 or 1 o'clock. But I don't say that to my confession path. Serve them to fulfill my promise. But when I say that in front of my confession father, strange enough that I feel tremendous guilt if I don't obey what my confession father told me. All of us know that it's good to pray. All of us know that it's good to whatever. But when your confession father says that to you, it is much more powerful. So accountability to a priest is very, but understand that you confess to the Holy Spirit in the presence of a witness, and that priest is a witness. You don't confess to the priest himself. You confess to God, but the priest is a witness, and also God can use this priest to speak, to give you some. There are some comments. One of the comments is the toughness of the confession path, if he's tough or not. Don't be upset with the Buddha if he's tough on you. Normally, he's tough on you when he sees that you are strong. Normally, we are very, very gentle with people who are beginners or are sensitive, oversensitive. We can't say to them something harsh. But when we trust your spirituality, then we can be a bit tough on you. And this is always symbolic of the importance of people that know that my salvation is important, my growth is important, my forgiveness is important, then with those people we can be tough on them. I told you this story before, I repeat for some of you, that there was one youth that entered the sanctuary and he confessed with Abuna Augustinus about a horrible, sinful sexual sin. And he was there in the altar, approaching for Holy Communion. And you know Abuna Augustinus, gentle, lovely, nice, but he doesn't tolerate this rubbish. Then he told him, get out of here, you are next to the altar, get out, stay outside until you understand the meaning of your sin. The boy went out, he left the church, stood on Wollongong Road, and vomited out of the pain, and was taken to hospital. He telephoned me from the hospital saying, your brother killed me. I said, which brother? And we are still alive. You know that this gentleman never ever did that mistake again? Never. Abuna did that to him because he is a good man. So he knew that he can carry it. And he needed to be tough on him. Being tough is very useful, so don't be upset. Some people are, when Abuna tells them something, they go out, I change my confession path. Take it, understand that salvation is something important. You will understand how important it is the minute of your death. The minute of your death, something will happen to you. Every person that is in a coma and dies while he is in the coma, open his eye a little bit and close it and die. I'm sure that the doctors here, if they witness that, they know that and observe it. Just recently it happened, and I was not there, but the priest was there. I asked him, did the person open his eyes? Did he see? Yes. You know what? They see something. They see one of two possibilities. Creatures that either very comfortable, and the creatures that are very scary, the innocent of the bunch, and it is reflected on their face. Some people, when they die with a face full of horror. And some people die with a face full of peace. I said this to some of you before, I repeat it, Malish. It was a person that died in front of me and when I was innocent myself. We were there. He died in front of us. He was in a coma. He got out of the coma. He opened his eyes and looked at the window. And actually he sat. And the whole family were in a shock because he was in that 48 hours. He said, oh, miracle, miracle. And then he dropped it. But he looked and stretched his hands with tremendous joy. On that day, I was 100% sure that he saw something. What is that something? Either he was a very good man, a very holy man. Either to see it. So you know, if your confession father is tough on you, it will help you in that instance. You will not be scared. So don't be upset with. I remember when Pope Shenouda came and he was very tough on me because he didn't see you so much. All the rest were here and down the stairs were the Israel field. And he's left his, he looked in the chair, he didn't see a youth. The whole church, all those were upstairs. Then he said, who is the priest that look after the youth? They told him, Abuna Hussein. Where is he? They said, he's cooking in the. And any other priest, they brought me from inside. And I stood on the judgment seat in front of him. And you were very young, but I had the horrible judgment. He was very tough on me, unbelievably tough on me. Even Uncle Adolf tried to defend me. He said, Sayyidina, he's a good priest. I said, shut up. A lady from the back said, Sayyidina, he's the Mishar. So I was. Then the second day, I couldn't sleep. These eyes, the Patriarch. I met him in the monastery. And I was lucky that he was by himself inside the building of the mosque, by himself. I rushed, sat next to him. I said, Sayyidina, are you really upset with me? Then he said to me, very unlikely that I'll see you again, son. Son, very unlikely I'll see you again. And it happened. You died after that. What's better for you, son? To clap for you that you are good? Or to tell you, look after your salvation. Give thanks to the Lord that you are still living, you are not dead. And give thanks to the Lord that it's me that speak to you, not God. Scary, scary. So don't be upset with a confession father that may be a bit tough on you. There are some people say that Abuna is very busy, haram, he's sleeping, I can't send him a message, or oh, he's been since 6 o'clock, I leave him today. Like, don't do that. The more you burden the priest, the more the Lord will reward the priest. So when you put burden on the priest, you are doing something good to yourself and to him. But don't waste time in unnecessary things, especially in confession. If you spend time with the priest, chat with him as much as you like, but not in a confession session and there are 15 people waiting outside. It was on Monday, no, it was Tuesday, I'm not sure, maybe Tuesday, it was Monday. What's the difference between Monday? And if it happened on Monday or Tuesday, what? Will it stop your salvation? That you know? And then introduction, stories, and it ends by showing how other people are sinful. And then, I think if you are merciful, not only to the priest, but people waiting outside, be specific. The real confession doesn't take more than 7-8 minutes to pour your sins and ask for guidance and ask for maybe spiritual exercise and exposing your sins and accepting that advice. And in fact, to take steps towards the advice that you can take. What if I fall immediately after I confess? Then confess again, provided that it is only 5 minutes. Or am I allowed to use the phone? Yes. But don't leave messages, delete it after that, because Abuna itself deletes it as well. And also, don't over-utilize it, as if it's a story. I fell. You have to do something. You have to struggle more. You have to pressure yourself a little bit. You have to fast. You have to use the power of sound. You have to, every now and then, come to be embarrassed in confession. And don't distribute your sins over the priest. I fall 7 times every week. Then Monday I send it to Abuna Abu, Tuesday I send it to Abuna Mark. So this idea is not just communication unnecessarily, it's really real repentance. And understand the gift of absolution, the gift, don't underestimate, it's a gift, be joyful. I always send the message, say be joyful, have peace, because it's a gift. There's joy in salvation. David, in his Psalms, Psalm of Repentance, 51, he says, restore to me the joy of salvation, the joy, when the burden is taken away from me, and I sleep happily, I'm no longer in guilt. But again, don't be angry with Abuna, because Abuna himself is worried about his responsibility. When he gives absolution, it's a responsibility. He has to try at least to be to encourage you, not to be upset with his encouragement to resist or to. It's a decision. There are many people that think that I'm going to fall. It's not true that sometimes the Lord can give you power to live in purity for quite a long time, victorious. Sometimes you have a feeling that. I'll confess anyway. Let me sin and confess. It's not like that. Don't over-utilize the generosity of God. It's not. Our relationship to God is love. We love Him. We don't like to over-utilize His generosity. If your parents are generous, you give you money at any time. Don't over-utilize it. The best gift, there's no better gift than forgiveness. In Psalm 103, that speak about the gifts that God gives, when He says, bless the Lord my soul, the first thing in the list of offerings from God that forgives you yourself. Forgiveness is a gift from God that is great, but we take it through confession. We can have a couple of questions, if anyone would like to ask any questions. There's a question that some people say, particularly girls, what is the opinion of the priest when he knows that I am repeatedly doing shameful sin? Will this be affecting him to the extent that he may give bad report about me, if anyone asks about me? This is the worry for some people, particularly girls. They like to have an image of holy self. Understand that the priest knows, not prophetically, but by experience, if you are saying the truth or not. We know. Not because we are prophetic, no, it's experience. A priest after a number of years will understand the person if she is saying the truth or she is pretending. Number two, the honesty and sincerity in confession is a great plus in the personality. The person is clear and the honesty is very important, because particularly with girls it is too embarrassing to say something embarrassing. So when you reveal something embarrassing, then it is showing that you are a good person. I tell you a strange story that happened to me. Again, I repeat, some of you heard that from me, I'm sorry to repeat, but others may benefit from it. When I came to Australia for the first time to attend the church, it was at St. Mark. And at that time it was Abu Moses, the man praying the mass. Then I said that, let me start as a newborn person. This priest I'll take as confession father. So let me say to him my bad history, and I start clean. While he was passing by the incense, I told him, Father, when do you take confession? He said, now, go inside. I went inside. While the reading possibly was happening, he took me. And because I knew the time is very short, I repeated for him in a very short time the very filthy and embarrassing history of mine since I was a child. Every single spot that is dirty and embarrassing, I said. All that I remember is that I was crying because I had a feeling, let it be a precious son. He didn't say a word. As I finished, he put the cross on my head and the red lamps finished. And I said, it's very easy in Australia. I went outside and sat next to the حيطة, the gambel حيطة. After 5 minutes, one deacon came to me and said, Abuna Isaac, go speak to Abuna. I said, that's it. Now we walk off. And then you know what happened? Then I'll take the penance. Then I went looking down. Yes, Abuna. I imagine that he'll tell me, go wash the toilets, or carry whatever, or do 100 matanya, or fast until sunset, anything. He said, I feel a bit tired. Would you take the sermon, please? What? I said, give the sermon. Me? Give the sermon? I didn't understand what's going on. But after I became priest, I knew. Because a priest sees a person like that coming from overseas, falling himself, embarrassing himself to death, saying all these filth and all this dirt, one after the other, to have a fresh start, must be the Holy Spirit moving in. So if the Holy Spirit is moving in, let him speak. Actually, after I became a priest, I said to Abuna, do you remember this happened? He said, yes, I remember. I said, what made you ask me to give the sermon? He said, to tell the truth, on that day, I decided to nominate you for priesthood. That's amazing. That the knowledge that when you pour yourself honestly, then I say that to the girls, and they say, when a girl comes and exposes her mistakes and her embarrassing mistakes, do you think that we don't know that you are doing embarrassing things? When I was in high school, in the 18th century, I think, or 17th century, they brought a professor from university, faculty of medicine, to give a talk to the people, ladies, about masturbation. The servants were embarrassed, and they felt that let us get a professor of medicine. I don't know, maybe physiology, anatomy, whatever, academic, to speak about people, about masturbation. All the servants expected him to say negative things. Then he said, well, look, people, if you don't suffer from that, go and see a doctor to know what's wrong about you. Which is very true. Like, all of us suffer from sexual desires. is not suffering, it's a gift from God. God is giving that gift in the proper time. But before marriage, it's a suffering, because we like to obey God, keeping our purity. And the pressure on us in this desire is too much, something in my body all the time. So we know that this struggle is happening. Why to pretend? Through that very, very limited number, the Lord gave them that gift to be capable to live away from that and victorious. Very limited number. But those ones are usually very blessed, and the Lord rewards them, and they are lucky. It's a matter of luck that they are lucky, that they didn't fall in, because it's habit. It is habit. And the habit is always, if you never used to smoke, then you have no desire to smoke. If you never use drugs, you never get tempted to use drugs. The same with masturbation. Lucky are the ones that were, but as I say, it's very limited number. One of our youths that used drugs told me once that you say it's possible to stop. I said, there's nothing impossible with God. He said, will you try and then we stop together? He was serious. He was serious. And I was too scared. I said, then what if I try and don't stop? It would be a bit catastrophic. So I escaped from this challenge. But as I say, that sometimes these habits are just, if you fall in it, very hard to get out of it. However, there are people that got out of it, limited number, but they're successful still, even from drugs. Thanks to the Lord, that against all the odds that are written in books, we have number of people in our church that overcame drugs. Thanks to the Lord. It's a miracle. It's powerful. Thank you. Do you have any question? I've never given a talk about confession without receiving hundreds of questions. What's happening? Very holy people. Okay. Thank you. Yes, please.
Abuna, I met people at uni, and they were from the Greek Orthodox Church. And they asked me about confession, and they were really like judgmental about like confessing to a priest. And they said like it's normal for us to not confess to a priest because they don't trust their priest. And I kind of didn't know what to say because like we trust our priest and it's so normal for us.
The idea of trusting the priest is really from the devil to serve them. What the priest, if the priest is not trustworthy, what is going to do? Reveal confessions. The priest will never reveal confession because it is actually a covenant that we lose priesthood when we reveal. However, sometimes people misunderstand. Like I speak in the microphone about stopping smoking, and then someone come and say, "You are revealing my confession. Yesterday I told you that I'm a heavy smoker. Today you speak about." We don't, when we say general rules, we don't mean someone at all. There's a common mistake that the person himself go out and say what Abuna said to me, and then people can gather what was your mistake. Some people, we say always, you confess to the priest and they don't confess to other people. Because you may say, oh, I trust this friend, and then I say to the friend, then the friend is the one that reveals your mistake. And they say, people knew, it must be Abuna that said, impossible. Don't imagine that this happened. But I'll tell you a scenario. Someone came to me, for example, and said that I fell in adultery. Then I tell him, for 2 months, you clean the toilet. Then after 5 months, another person came to me, confessed, and went outside, and he says to the friend, Abuna told me to clean the toilet 2 months. Then he says, oh, he fell in adultery. How did he know? it happened to me 6 months ago. That Abuna said it to me. Like, don't say to people what Abuna said to me. Because sometimes people can gather from the advice or the penance that the priest give you, they can gather what was your mistake. But the priest on purpose go and reveal why should he? Yeah, what's the benefit of that? What the, thanks to the Lord that the Coptic priests have a very bad memory. One person came to me once and said, can I start confessing with you? I used to confess with the Abuna Samui, but I decided to change. I said, why? He said, I sat with him half an hour, speaking to him about my something. He got a telephone call on the landline. He went to answer the landline and came back to me and said, yes, son, who are you? I told him, if that's the reason that he came to me, please see him. I said, the priest, this will happen to you differently with me. Many people, I said to him, who is your professional father? I said, you. We have very short memory. Abuna Mark said to the boys, if you are too embarrassed, say the thing fast. If you are too embarrassed, say it fast. Then a boy came to me and I said, I lie, I swear. Sorry? Then he took a deep breath and said, I lie, I swear. I don't want to do. So if you are too embarrassed, come and say, I said that in the Arabic church, and a young lady came to me with a nice sense of humor, and she sat and confessed, and she said, oh, oh, oh. Any question? So thanks to the Lord, the Greek priests, some of them are extremely holy. By the way, in the Greek church, not all of them take confessions. They select selective number of them only take confessions. In the Coptic church, all the priests take confessions, except if the confession father says to his son, the new priest, say 1 year or whatever without confession until you have enough time to do whatever. But in general, in the Coptic church, we have confessions. It's an experience, but thanks to the Lord that we speak to each other without mentioning details or names. Like, a new priest will ask the other priest, what should I do if this is the scenario, without saying who is the person and the details of the scenario, such that we don't reveal the sins to each other. We love sometimes to say something to the parents, but we can't. Like, when I know that a child, say, is drowning in something, it would be great if the parents know, I can't. Because the trust will be lost and it's against the promise. So we can't. Actually, it gets us sometimes in trouble. Like if the police, for example, will ask, we can't. You know that we get this problem sometimes in family problems. That the police can try to get something, information, we escape from that as much as possible. In the family problems, when it comes to the clerical council, we say to people, I think Mbakula once told us a very interesting story, that he was in a place and a lady came and confessed with him horrible things, adultery. And then after half an hour, she entered the clerical council and she was shocked to know that he is the one that will charge. And because of her shock, he took her to the side and told her, outside I am a father, here I am a judge. What I heard outside is not on. It's not on, it will never affect my decision. Never. Because outside I'm a father, here I'm judged, it's different. Which is true. But of course we should be careful when it comes to clerical counsel that when I'm expression or God forbids that any one of you would be in a situation like this. But thank you very much for listening. From a practical point of view, if you didn't confess for a certain time, or if you don't have a confession father, or if confession is casual for you once here, once there, then start understanding its importance and do yourself and the church and the priest a favor by making your consent of confession concise, clear, and to the point, and it ends by repentance, not stories. Because some people come to say stories, as if they are reporting, this happened, this and this, but there is no feeling of regret, and there is no decision to change. Repentance will be complete by regret and the change, and absolution. Thank you for listening. You know our weakness, Lord, but you are merciful, Father. You are a redeemer. You redeem us from all our sins by your care and your fatherhood. We beg you, Lord, to guide us to live in purity. We beg you, Lord, that you overlook our mistakes and our weakness and give us this desire to become closer to you, love you more as you love us. Use it in front of you, Lord, love you and follow you and do the best to please you. Guide us, Lord, protect us. Give us this strength, Lord, that we like to live in purity. Give us this strength, Lord, that we stand out of our weakness, knowing that you, as a loving Father, can accept us and can restore us to our original name in loving you. We ask you to the feelings of me, of the archangel, someone. And we ask you to listen to us, we pray, thank you, and say, our Father.